Underpants.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Big Show. I'm Jeff Gamet. I'm your interim host, sitting in for Ewan Rankin, and it's awesome to be here with all of you and the amazing people on this panel, including, yes, it's true, including the guy that's apparently channeling his inner Jeff on Mac Voices Live. Ben, how are you?
I am fantastic, and I can't wait to talk about my story today.
I am very much looking forward to it. And I say that without having any idea what your story is, but having an idea nonetheless. Ian, how are you?
Me, I'm great, sir. I'm very good. Nice week. We're doing a load of global day of learning type stuff in the company I work for. So we've been doing a load of collaborative teaching things, and I've had fun doing some of those this week. So it's been good. Got another one tomorrow. So yeah. One of our colleagues is getting up at 4 a.m. because he's on West Coast.
Crazy.
I've asked him this multiple times, and he just goes. So he might not be. I don't know.
That's it just reminds me of my funny. One of my former managers. Like, got up at like 3:30 every morning and did like calls with Germany. So. But he liked it. So he said, I'm up anyway. Might as well do some work. So
he's up anyway.
Yeah. It's just too early. I remember when I worked for Mac Observer, I would get up at 5:30 in the morning every day because I was covering the East Coast morning tech news.
Oh, okay.
So that's when I had to be up so that I could make sure I was ready for anything that could happen
throughout the day. You know what you should have done? Move to Europe.
And then,
it would have been a nice late morning.
Well, now I know. It's a little late for that, but now I know.
Yeah. Yeah, just be glad you weren't in California.
True. Or Hawaii.
My favorite story was when the initial Sony A7 was released. Because Sony released that on Japanese time.
Oh, no.
Right.
Meaning, I was up at like 2 a.m. watching and writing about that.
Oh, good times.
I mean, that's almost not a problem at all, because then you're just like, I mean, I'm just going to stay up, right?
Yeah. Yep, and yep, I stayed up, had my my story ready to go by the 7 a.m. Time where the editor-in-chief starts working. And then I had to do my normal job writing stuff.
That's a problem then, yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of harsh.
Yeah.
So I was the only guy on staff doing the news.
Ben, if I had been your boss, I would have said, get your story in, and then I'll take care of any edits or publishing when it's supposed to go live, and then see you this afternoon or tomorrow.
Yeah,
whatever.
Exactly.
That's what I'm Jeff. Yeah. Corporate America. What are the odds of that happening?
It's fair, especially when you're 1095.
That's why you should work for European companies, because there that works exactly like that.
Someone works late,
they start late the next day.
So
absolutely, Europe.
I should have been a manager in an EU company.
Yes,
definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Yes, we don't have any of that silliness here.
Yeah.
Yeah. I lost track. Who have I said hi to so far? Ben? And that's it?
And Tom.
Ben and Ian.
Ian.
Yeah, you've said hi to me.
Yeah.
Yep. But Tom, I haven't said hi to you yet. Is that true?
That's true. Hi, Jeff.
Hi. Oh, I need a checklist.
I'm here.
Awesome. Well, great to see you again. Because you've been busy.
I have. I'm back at home, and yeah, I apologize for last week. I got in very late the night before, and unlike Ben, I didn't just stay up and get my job done. I went to sleep. Sorry.
Well, you assumed that you were working under a manager from the EU.
Yes, I
And
did.
that's
Yes,
fair.
I did.
And that's
Instead of
totally fair.
American rules. Right.
Absolutely.
Well, you look well rested.
Thank you. Yeah, I got my hair cut, which is kind of funny for a guy who's bald. But if I go too long without cutting my hair, since I only have hair on the sides, I start looking like Bozo the Clown.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and
So.
the way you look now, Tom, you just need some tea Earl Grey hot.
True.
Well, speaking of understanding a proper work ethic and life balance by living in the EU, Patrice, how are you?
I'm not so sure about that. I mean, I understand it doesn't mean I'll live it because I seem
Well,
to be
I
more on the American side. Like, I worked until like I think midnight last night almost, and then like this morning I was up at like 8:30 or something. So
You
doing
got
it well.
poisoned by your time in America, Patrice.
Yeah, well, no, it was like that before. It's just me. I mean, to be fair, we have a big audit happening this week, so just tons of work. Like last week, we had the big digital medical conference in Berlin, the biggest, one of the biggest one in Europe. That was great, but exhausting. I was so tired after. I was like, I just like I'm done. Like, if I took a photo and I looked at it, I'm like, yeah, you can see, like, I'm just done. But it's good. I mean, that's how it should be. Like, we literally, you give it everything, and then like afterwards, you're like, okay, done.
And then you nap.
Yeah, and then I had food, and then I had a relaxing day after. Like, so that's Europe. Like the day after, I was traveling, and I really didn't do that much. I was like, I had one meeting with like someone in Berlin, like one of our recruiters. And after that, I was like, "Eh, I'll just go to the airport and relax."
Nice.
So that's also,
Nice.
yeah. No, I'm good. As I said, big audit this week until Monday next week. So far, so good. Tomorrow, I have a ton that I have to present, but should be fine. I'm prepared. So we seem to be prepared. That's the most important thing for an audit. I
Is it
think
an
so.
internal audit or is
No.
it the government?
No, it's neither. It's a
Regulatory.
government mandated program. It's called C5. I'm the German, what is that? The German Federal Office for Information, I think, BSI. So they're the ones like doing IT, like data centers, security, cloud, all of that. So if there's any whatever cybersecurity incident, whatever, we would have to report it to them and all of that.
I
So.
see. Just tell
So
them you
that's a
have
big.
the firewall is turned on. No worries.
If we have the
You're
firewalls
set.
turned on, sure. Not a problem. No, but it's like, I mean, it is. They came up like, God, I want to say 9 years ago, I think, it was like a program called C5. It's even five C's, but I don't remember what they stood for. But it's basically take everything that like the big cloud companies like Microsoft and Google and Amazon and whatever are doing. And put that into kind of a program, like a law audit, whatever you want to call it. So there's
Great.
nothing is super crazy. It's not like the typical government stuff where you're like, what the hell were they thinking? Nah, here and there, you're like, okay, it's like kind of a little bit old school when they talk about patch management. And I'm like, we have Kubernetes clusters, like patch management. Whatever, but okay, fine. But okay, but for the most part, it's like, hey, for your production, like the credentials for the users, can you disable them? Do you have multi-factor authentication on by default for them? Stuff like that. So it's not, none of it is super crazy, but it goes very broad and very deep. So it's like from your development to your like deployed application and everything around between. So
I'm old enough to remember when security audits included identifying the phone numbers of every modem your company had,
oh, yeah.
and if it
Oh.
required credentials to log in.
Yeah, that I remember that. It's been
I'd like to say I don't remember that, but I can't.
a while.
Yeah.
No,
I remember listening to the handshake tones and then being able to
yes.
tell you what baud rate the connection was.
Oh.
Oh, that's funny. That I could. That I can't
I couldn't do it now, but
do. You used to.
Those were the
Gaia.
days. Those were
This
the
is a
days.
300.
Simpler life.
Yeah. Life was so much easier back
Yeah.
then.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, but as I said, it's so far. I mean, as I said, it was a ton of work. We started working on this in September, I think, last year, and finally we're doing the audit, and we have to be done. There's a new law that was passed January 1st this year that requires us to do it. So far, it was only the big data center providers had to do it, but now they require all services to also do it. So if we provide a cloud service on top of it of another provider, we have to do it. So we're doing it, and it is tons of work. And of course, don't get any extra people or resources for that, because why would you?
Of course not.
Right. Why would you?
I mean, to be fair, we will get someone, but it just like this short notice and this short of time, it just didn't work. Like by the time that person even knows what we're doing, the time is over. So
It's over.
we have only end of June till end of June to actually finish it. So to have the certificate in hand, and then next year we have to do it again. So, but then it's just a re-audit, so it's not, the initial is always the hardest. So yeah, but that's my life this week. So I'm very happy when Monday is over and I'm like, yes, there's some work after, some proof that we have to submit, some documents and whatever. We're already doing that, and then there might be some questions, some changes we still have to make, could happen, but for the most part it should be okay.
The only thing I want to know is this. Why do they require that they stuff you all in a C5 Galaxy to get this audit done?
You have
Why is
to
it
ask the German government.
yes. It's like finish the audit or we're opening up the rear ramp.
Ben, I was thinking about the C5 Chevy truck. Is that the same thing?
Well, you could fit a lot of C5 pickups in a Lockheed Martin C5 Galaxy.
That's
Heavy
true.
lifter, heavy airlifter.
By the way, I looked it up. C5 stands for Cloud Computing Compliance Criteria Catalog. Very
Course it
German
does.
thing.
Of
Very
course it
German
does.
Oh, man, they're
thing,
into
of
the alliteration.
course.
Get all the buzzwords in there.
Correct.
Wow.
As I said, the BSI in Germany is actually quite a good agency. Like they're quite straightforward. They know what they're doing. The stuff that they put out makes sense. They put out, I mean, it's kind of like the, how's it called? CISA, I think, in the US.
Oh,
Cybersecurity.
CISA.
Yeah, whatever. It's kind of like that. They're quite straightforward. The stuff they do makes sense and so on. Like this, it's not the typical thing where you're like, what are they doing? What are they thinking? Or they're just usually doing nothing. That's the usual thing that government agencies do. No, this makes sense. So yeah, I'm okay with that. Just tons of work, but that's okay. And this is not a, like, that's the other thing. It's not a typical cert, like a typical, it's not a certification, it's an attestation. So whoever, like, if you're in this field, you know the difference, but it's basically, it goes like a certification is usually just, oh, do you have a process? Yeah, okay, check mark, done. Like, easy peasy. They actually question whether the things you have are like good for what you want to do. So they go, I mean, they would go into data centers and look at the windows and say, is this the right window for your data center? That's the level they do.
Well, you don't want Windows 7 in your data center, so it's a good thing to check.
Absolutely not.
No. No,
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 absolutely not.
95. 95 Windows we need.
95.
Yeah. A lot of the healthcare industry runs on Windows 95 and
Right.
XP.
Oh
It's
yeah. And
a
then you have the
scary
one.
thing that hooked up to million-dollar machines.
Yeah, then you have the one machine that's actually the most core critical computer in the entire infrastructure, and everyone's so afraid to update anything on it because it might break. It's still running Windows ME.
Yep,
No, it's
seen that,
3.1. We're
been
still
there,
on the
seen that no,
3.1.
multiple times, multiple businesses, a lot in the healthcare industry, an awful lot of
Yes.
machines that
Healthcare
talk,
and insurance.
machines that talk to very expensive bits of equipment that have got a very proprietary bit of software on it that was coded for 32-bit, that runs on Windows, that runs on something like Windows XP, and
And the
it'll be there
company that
forever because
made
it
it doesn't
works, it does
exist
its thing.
anymore.
Yes. Send the guy into the clean room with the 5.5 inch floppy
five and a
disk.
quarter. Yes.
Yep. Speaking of legrooms and it's a bad segue. Ben, tell us about your story.
Okay. Oh, yep. Well, we're talking about a guy whose room right now is not so clean.
Mm-hmm. No kidding.
We're about to talk about a casualty insurance case that is literally out of this world.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Literally. Yes, that was a completely terrible pun, but I digress. Okay, about 2 months ago now, there was a guy in Naples, Florida. God, I forget his name, but and they didn't put it here. But
Bill, we'll just call him Bill.
Yes, we'll call him Bill. He was out of town.
Luckily,
he gets a call from like either a neighbor or a family member that something went through his roof.
Hey, you got hole in your
roof. Yes, not only did it go through his roof, it went through a couple stories of the house and ended up lodged in a mall, in a wall. So he comes home, sends the or he comes home, looks at the thing. The thing is kind of charred. Dude is convinced it came from the International Space Station. Well, NASA's like, no. Nothing that large could have possibly hit the ground from the International Space Station.
Well,
chances of anything coming from Mars are 1,000,000 to 1, they said.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yep, so 2 months later, they analyze the thing. Hey, Bill, you know how we said it didn't come from us? Yeah.
Funny story.
Yeah, it's our space junk. It was part of the pallet for nickel hydride batteries for the International Space Station, which the way NASA does things, when something is no longer useful, since it's quite expensive to land the damn thing, they just literally kick it out the door and let gravity and and friction do the rest.
Yeah. You know what, people in cars
in the US.
That's true. That's true.
Yeah. Yes.
You know what we need? We need a boson catcher, and then we can just like shoot it and reverse errors and catch it, right? That was a Eureka, right?
So this isn't exactly, this is small by Earth standards. 1.6 pounds, 4 inches in height.
Just under a kilogram. For those in metric, that's just under a kilogram. That's not very big, but that's gonna be falling at gravity.
Quite a speed.
Yes. You've got gravity helping it fall from however many miles up it was when it was dropped.
I'm sure it hit terminal velocity, which is probably about 200 miles an hour for an object like that.
Even a kilogram traveling at that will not be pleasant when it arrives.
The guy's name is Alejandro, by the way. It's not Bill.
Yes.
Oh, I was close.
Yes, Alejandro. But to be perfectly honest, by the time he hits his house, the thing was probably still hot from the plasma.
Yeah. Right. Bound to have been, surely.
So what you pretty much have here is a NASA space junk turning into an artillery shell.
Yeah.
Just wait until all the Starlink satellites start falling out of the air.
Yep.
They have no plans, I think, how that's going to happen, right?
Well,
no
they're
plan.
Supposed
to, but,
so
but
the initial Elon, plan,
so no.
No, they you're right. No, they don't have a plan. The initial plan that they told us was that When these hit end of life and they deorbit, they're designed so they will completely burn up in the atmosphere. Turns out that's not actually true. They don't know
really
if they will burn up or not, or how much will burn
really
up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and here's the other thing. The NASA projections of how much of it burns up is far, far more optimistic than the ESA models.
Yeah, of course.
Well, the ESA model, something like 40% of the space junk ends up hitting the surface. Why? I mean, this was, I mean, this was kind of a one in a million thing, because, I mean, most of that went into the Gulf of Mexico. Naples is literally right on the Gulf, on the western shore of Florida. So, I mean, the chance of it hitting his house
was
is also out of this
pretty
world.
Good.
Yeah, but all I have to say about this. Well, number one, he wants to see if he can keep the object as a keepsake.
Yeah, I would completely.
Yeah, number two. I would be asking for a voided insurance check to frame that sucker.
Right.
Because after his homeowner's insurance pays out, our tax money is going to be going to pay out that insurance company.
Yep.
Or should I say my Tom and Jeff's tax money.
Right.
Yeah.
Interestingly, I mean, that's a very small amount compared to I looked at the numbers on that article you shared, it's about £6,000, which in proper metric is about 2.5 tons of waste that's thrown into the atmosphere by NASA.
Mm-hmm.
Is that every year or every day? I mean, whatever. I guess it's all part of that.
That was the mass of the hardware that was released this
It was released at that time. So, yeah. So it's a little over two tons.
Yeah.
A small car.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
No, not a small car. A big car. A big that's a couple of, a
no,
couple, a couple of cars.
A small EV this day. A small EV.
Yeah, it's an EV. So that's a lot. And effectively what's landed is a wing mirror.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
When you build the scale out of it, what's landed is a wing mirror.
Yeah.
It's still going to be it's hella fast. There's no we don't get away from that. But
I mean,
it's quite surprising. Really,
we don't know if anything else landed. This is just the only piece that was detected.
Yeah.
There could have been other pieces. We don't know, if like in the middle of nowhere or somewhere where just nobody.
How many dolphins in the Gulf of Mexico?
Swimming quietly on them.
Or a wing mirror,
it would.
Or about a 40mm artillery shell.
Right, that's what it looks like.
Yeah.
You know, I'm really regretting getting rid of my old Skylab helmet.
Yeah, you should have kept that.
Yeah, you really should have kept that. Yep.
I mean, anyway, because you're living in the U.S., so.
I think that was 50 years ago, right? The big panic about Skylab in the 70s.
So I was a kid, but yeah, I remember all of the discussion, you know, like grown-ups being super worried about where Skylab was going to come down. So of course, as a kid, you don't have a concept of how big the spaces are, and I just assumed that Skylab was going to fall close enough to me that I'd just be able to walk over and see the crater in the ground. Imagine my disappointment when that did not happen.
When it ended up in Australia or wherever it was.
Yes, right. In the outback, I think, wasn't it?
I think so.
Yeah, I hear it's been converted into a Starbucks.
Yeah, Jeff, I mean, you could still walk over there. It just, I mean, you have to walk on water and it might have taken a while.
So. It would have
well, Jeff,
you.
Jeff can walk on water.
Sure, oh, absolutely. Okay.
Yeah, but I don't like to show off.
Okay.
Yeah. But Jeff, do you know who does like to show off?
I
You know,
do,
yeah, I know.
but
Microsoft, I
we
don't
need to
know.
hit up.
Microsoft and their ads.
Yeah,
Oh, see, I
yeah,
thought you were trying to queue me up for TSO host.
yeah. No. But we're queuing up my story, I think.
You know what,
Yeah.
Ben? That was a really, really great segue, and I
I mean, you're almost a professional
apologize
this.
for screwing it up. Okay, do it again, and I'll get it right this time.
Ian, go.
Oh, Jesus
So,
Christ, Ben. Ian, tell us about your damn story, all right?
oh my God.
yeah, so Microsoft. We're got I'm looking at that. There's various people downloading the latest batches of the updates for the preview builds. And what we're saying is that, and there's also some articles about what they're going to do. They're now going to, the start menu is bad enough as it is. And now
Yes.
they're going to add suggested apps to it. So not things you've got installed, but something you might be interested in. Please, Microsoft, will you stop? From the bottom of my heart, take away all the advertising. I've paid a license for your product. Please
This
stop.
wasn't cheap.
Which wasn't
No,
cheap.
not.
Please stop putting adverts for crap in my operating system.
Yeah,
And
to
I've
be
come back to
clear.
Windows again. Now, the thing is here, I'm torn in two. I'm a Windows user of long, long standing. I remember when there was when it started with NT and there was numbers and things, and I've used it ever since. So I'm a long standing Windows user. I'm back again because of work things, and I'm not using my Mac at the moment. And Windows 11 has got a lot of lovely stuff in it that I really like, and
Yeah.
I found I'm coming to from Mac, remembering all this is really good. Things like Windows layout stuff, how you can drag a window to one edge of the screen and it will lay them out really nicely. I can't do that on a Mac without an extra app, you know, and just lots of little things that's really very good. And then they saddle it with adverts, and then they load it up with other junk and crap. And you think, and even the memory management isn't half bad. And then you, oh, for God's sake, Micro. And you keep finding, I keep thinking, oh, couldn't I do that before? And they send an update out and they take it away. And they're doing the same
Yeah.
thing with their browser now, where I'm using Edge because it's, again, convenient and corporate policy and everything else. And
And every 5 seconds, they ask you, are you using Edge? Are you using Edge? Are
yeah,
you
they
using
do.
Edge?
They do. And the
It is
bastards
the
keep
default, the
changing my
digital
settings.
F off button.
There is
Yeah, there is
no.
It needs an
No.
F off button.
The thing that's driving
Yeah.
me crackers as well is the bastards keep changing my homepage, and I keep turning it. I go in, turn everything off. I do not want any of these low IQ shite on my screen. Please turn off all this war on rubbish. I don't need news. All I want is a search bar and maybe a few of my recently visited websites. That's all I want. Thank you very much, Microsoft. Tick, tick, tick. I've done that. Stop it. Every time it updates Edge, it changes again, and I have to go and change it back again. Please stop it.
When you were mentioning news, I'm still using Skype because I have a like a phone line on that. It started sending me push notifications for news. I'm like, what the
What's
fuck?
that
Did you
about?
enable it? I could barely figure out how to even stop it. Like, it was nowhere to be found. A button that says, just don't send me push notifications for news.
It's
Like,
that Cory Doctorow
finally, I
thing,
found
isn't
an
it?
article that mentioned, oh, you have to disable the news thing in the app, and then it goes away. I'm like, oh.
It's that Cory Doctorow. Is it Cory Doctorow come up with the expression in shitification?
Yeah.
It's Cory, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's Cory, isn't it? Yeah.
That's exactly
And
it.
it's exactly it.
This is
Or.
this is the downside of our capital C capitalism that we have, like in the Western world. Because I mean, a lot of companies, like I always look at it this way. Ads bring in money. Why would they not add ads to everything? Because they
Right.
need more money, like
They are.
more
They
average
are, yeah.
per
They're just not, they're
user.
completely
So
ignoring any
yeah,
kind of thing that I've paid
common
a fee for a
sense.
service now. I'm very happy with this service. Please stop showing me adverts.
Because they have to show constant growth in revenue and in profit and all of that, so they
Yeah,
constantly have to
the
give you
the
more.
curse of AA bloody R, which
Yeah,
my company
exactly.
is chasing after forevermore, because it's the way we keep our keep the wolf from the door and the roof on our heads. And so I understand this, but there's got to be a better way.
Yeah. Well, there is, but it's not the popular way.
No, Linux, that's the better way. More and
Yes.
more, I get more and more convinced that I
Or
will
to
be
charge
I
more money for
eventually.
your product so you don't have to sell ads.
Perfect. That's exactly what
Patrice,
I did.
what was that OS thing that you reposted on Mastodon? It said, Here's how to pick an OS. Do you hate yourself?
Yes.
If the answer is yes, you can pick Mac OS, Windows, or Linux. And if your answer is no, you don't hate yourself, then you don't pick any OS.
No, then get rid of your computer.
That's pretty much that would help a lot. I mean, and on the other side of things is, I say there's so many good things about the current release of Windows. It is actually surprisingly stable and good operating system.
Yeah.
Just will you stop making it more annoying? That's all we want. That's all I want. And I'm coming back to it again. Muscle memory kicks in. Everything's working very nicely. Memory management doesn't seem too terrible anymore. It genuinely is a good operating system. If they'll stop having it, it's Microsoft that are ruining it.
Yeah. But soon there will be a, whatever, $50 a month subscription to get Windows without ads.
There is a couple of features. There's a couple of things that I found. I can't do this to a work machine, sadly, but there's a couple of things out there for those of you that are tearing your hair out, what little you've got left, is there are two things around. One called Tiny 11. Have a Google. I'll chuck the links in our chat. Patrice later on will tell you where to find that chat. Mm-hmm. And you can get a script that will clean up your Windows installation and remove the Microsoft junk.
Nice.
There's also another guide. I mean, these were around years ago. It's the same, basically, idea of someone scripting the installation and then by a PowerShell script, basically removing the additional nonsense that we don't actually want. I've used it on a laptop here, and it worked very well, to be honest. It got rid of 90% of the rubbish. And there's another guy called Chris.
The rest is Windows.
Yeah, there's only just barely Windows. There's barely anything left. There's a command prompt just flashing in the corner. But there's also, I mean, this was very tiny. The Tiny 11 was actually very good. And also, there's the ultimate Windows utility by a guy called Chris Titus, Titus Tech.
Oh, I remember that one even.
Yeah, it's old, but it's still a goodie. Yeah. It's basically a script that will go through again, runs a few, helps you run a few PowerShell scripts that will unpick a lot of the annoying factors from Windows. So if you are, my bit of customer service for the day, that if guys are getting annoyed with Windows and some of the stuff it's doing, have a play around with some of this stuff. This is very, very good.
Yeah.
I've not had, they're not viruses. I've had good luck with both of them.
In my family, that utility is called Tom.
We've got one here. They've got a tech support guy that works here called Ian. He's very good, they tell me, a bit grumpy, but he's very good.
Either you get a Mac or I'm not doing anything. Everybody has a Mac and nobody needs my help.
All I can say is this: I'm so much more happier now that my folks have an iPad instead of their Dell.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
The biggest question I get these days is, I should probably buy a new device, X, whatever, iPhone, iPad. Which one should I get? And I'm like, what's the latest? Take that one. Okay, done.
Yes.
Windows.
So that was my rant. Thank you very much for that.
Great rant.
Short session of it was counseling. I don't think, really think it was a news story. It was just venting of getting something off my chest. Thank you very much. I feel better now. I can sit here quietly in the corner.
I think that was counseling for everybody. Right.
It was group.
Group therapy.
I'm thinking there's a theme here, and this is going to be just a day about crappy business models of big companies.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think so.
If that's the case, then Patrice, what crappy business model do you have to share with us?
Yeah, so I have a story from Daring Fireball, actually. So from Gruber, John Gruber. And if you're on the Apple side, you might know it. But this actually is not about Apple. This is about something the EU is doing. You know, the EU is in the news a lot these days, doing a lot of things, trying to curb a little bit the, let's say, the influence and the power of the big tech companies, especially US tech companies, apparently. At least it's what Gruber is saying in this article. But the reason for it is actually quite an interesting one. So after some decisions by the EU that Meta is kind of a gatekeeper for their social media services, which I think makes sense. So Instagram and Facebook especially, but also WhatsApp, and they had to unbundle things and so on. They had introduced what is now called a pay or okay model here in Europe, especially. I don't know if you get that in the US, but here we got a question. It's like, okay, either you pay us don't remember what it was. Couple
1 million
euros
euros.
a month? No, not that much. It was couple. Maybe it was a
$1 million.
couple euros a year, even like a little. You pay us some money,
€1 million.
or you accept that we show you targeted ads. That's kind of, if you want it for free, then you get targeted ads. So that was the whole thing. And the EU, or more precise, the EDPB, which is the legislature of privacy authorities in the EU, basically just adopted or published a opinion, draft opinion. It was a draft, and now it's official, I think, that large online platforms cannot offer a pay or okay model as a strict binary, and must also offer a third free choice that doesn't utilize personalized advertising. So what that means is, and the argument is quite interesting for this. What that means is, yeah, you need a third option. It's like, okay, but without targeted ads. So you can still show ads and everything, it's fine, but no targeted ads. So it's not, no tracking, basically. That's, I think, the whole thing. And the reasoning behind that decision is quite interesting, because they're saying, for the GDPR to be applied, you basically have to have, what did they call it? I think it's a freely given decision that you would accept, you know, those stupid cookie banners and whatever you get asked for, that your consent to using your data is freely given. And they're arguing that because you basically have a choice, either you pay or you accept, that is not a free choice, because either you're forced to give away money, or you're forced to give away your data. It's not a really
That's
choice.
not free. Yeah, that's not free.
No.
Never free
So that's
there.
their argument for it. I mean, there's millions of questions around this, like, especially why does it only apply to Meta and some other big companies, and not to, I mean, all the news agencies in Europe that are doing this right now, for example, or I don't know, Spotify, for example. European companies, yeah. So you can for
So
sure.
the basic new thing is the EU is valuing your data,
Yes.
you know, as true value, that there's some
Yes.
value. They didn't assign a value to it, but they said there is value. You are
There is,
paying.
yeah, for
It
sure.
it's a currency of a type.
It is, because otherwise, why would Facebook
Right.
collect it and sell it if there was no value in it?
Right. Yeah, I think that's an interesting development.
Yeah, I mean, the EU has a quite strong, I would say, strong stance on privacy,
Right.
with GDPR especially, and so on, stronger than I think most other places. I mean, not that doesn't exist. Also in the US, there's quite a, especially in some areas, quite a lot of laws around privacy, especially medical data and so on,
Right.
like HIPAA and all of that. So, yeah, but the EU is quite heavy on that, I would say, almost. So yeah, it's an interesting question. Like, is this a choice or not? And should the EU force tech companies to big cap? It's not the small guys, the big tech companies to
So
do that.
would
Somebody's
it
the home
also
companies.
apply,
Go on, Tom.
would it apply to somebody like Netflix? You know, you pay a subscription, but they're still using your data. They don't have a tier where you pay and they don't get your data, right?
That is a good question. Whether you, I mean, it might
They're
not
not
be.
showing the
And
ads, I guess.
are they considered a gatekeeper?
Well, it's not linked
Oh,
to the
right.
gatekeeper. So that's one of the things. It's not technically linked to the gatekeeper. It says, I think it just says large online platform. So yes, Netflix could be considered one.
So it's not the same criteria as the DMA where you had to have a
No.
certain number of users. Okay.
No, there's no, that's one of the problems with this. This is purely a GDPR topic. It's not a, like, a DMA thing. So there's no, I don't think there's a law around it. It might be in the future, but there's currently. But you're right. I mean, I would say it's different, because you can, as long as you can in Netflix opt out and say, or not opt in and say, I don't want to give you the data, but you can still use the service because you're still paying for it. I think it's fine. If the price is the same and you can say yes or no, that's okay
Right.
because you're already paying. Like the payment itself is not a problem. It's just if you have to choose between paying or giving away data, then you get a
Right.
problem. Apparently.
I do
I
like
don't
this
know.
line in Gruber's piece where he says, "What makes this all the more outrageous is that many major publishers in the EU use this
Yes.
exact same pay or
Yes.
okay model to achieve GDPR compliance, and none offer a free alternative with non-targeted ads. Don't hold
Correct.
your
Right.
breath waiting for Der Spiegel to offer free access without ads. Christ, they
Yes.
don't even let you look at their homepage without paying or consenting to targeted ads." He is
Yeah, I was just
absolutely
reading this.
100% right.
Okay,
Yeah,
and
I'm
Spotify
Spotify.
brags about their ad targeting.
Yeah.
Right.
And I mean, the EU is not saying ad targeting per se is illegal. They're not banning it. They're just
No.
saying
Gotta have another option.
users
Yeah.
have to consent to it,
Yeah.
Yeah,
which
which I guess with those services
yeah.
you are. That
Yeah,
being the
I mean,
difference.
that's what I mean. Instagram has been doing for quite a while. I mean, they have had targeted ads, but you could go in and say, no, I want just standard ads.
Actually, yeah, the same with Facebook. Facebook does that now as well. Yeah, Facebook is the same. I think I opted out of targeted ads a while ago because I was sick of whatever shite they were showing me. But the interesting thing on this is, I think we do need someone to keep. Again, it trails back to my story of we need someone to gatekeep the buggers from ruining whatever platform we have by perpetually feeding us with advertisements. So we can't see the content for the advertising. I mean,
I mean,
sometimes that line is blurred to the point where you're wondering what you're reading is advertising or actually content.
well,
And so,
there's some clear rules in the EU about that. It has to be clear, but they're not stopping Meta from doing that. Like they can offer a third option and say no targeted ads, but then there's one post and then 10 ads. Like just
yeah.
totally illegal. If they're not targeted, it just blasts your screen with ads. Shitty service, but yes, it is legal.
Right.
And Gruber has that in here. Like he basically sees a couple of options, and I think they will go for that, what you said. They could offer a free tier with contextual but not targeted ads, and then basically increase the number of ads that you see so that it kind of they get the same money that they would get with targeted
Make it
ads. They
up in
could do that.
volume.
And I think that's what they're going to do, probably. They could just take the hit and say, well, we just show less. I
Right.
don't think they're going to do that.
Yeah,
Or
no. Do that.
they could do what he calls the nerd harder fantasy of just inventing a new way to make money, which, yeah, that's not going to happen. I mean, they might do that still, because if they can find a novel way of making even more money, they're going to do it, but it has nothing to do with this. Yeah, I mean, they could also just leave the EU, but I don't think that's going to
But that's
happen.
not going to happen.
No, not a chance.
Nope.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's, as I said, it's an interesting thing. The whole pay and okay, I mean, it's kind of, yeah, I think Meta was even one of the companies who started it first.
That does not surprise me.
Not at all. Nope.
But I said, now you see it everywhere. Like tons of websites say, yeah, hey, like Der Spiegel, like, hey, are you okay with showing ads? Especially in news outlets, I'm seeing tons, even in the US now doing that.
Yeah, there's a lot of news outlets in the US where unless you agree to targeted ads, or have a subscription, in some cases you need both,
Yeah.
you can't look at
Yes.
the content.
Yeah, I think I don't think The Verge is one, but just remember, there's one of
Or
the. I
you get the sites
think
that
it's
will let you
Wired.
in if you have an ad blocker on, right?
Yeah, I
If
think
you have your
Wired
ad
is.
blocker on.
Yeah. Oh yeah, you get that. Like if the ad blocker is on, then you
Oh
go.
well, and then I go, oh well, never mind
Yeah, that's
then.
usually my response. I'm like, oh, never
Yeah,
mind. Like,
it's amazing how many websites Pi-hole keeps me from having
oh yeah.
to waste my time on.
My ad guard does exactly the same thing. I can't get their old one in mind.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, whatever.
All right. Well, as long as we're talking about awesome business plans, Tom, tell us about your story.
That's funny.
My story.
I'm going to preface this with, I thought it was a U.S. company.
I thought it was an April Fool's, but it's not.
I thought it was April Fool's too. I had that was my first thought. So my story is about a company which is planning a Kickstarter. They don't even have the Kickstarter up yet, but they're so, you know, that's the caveat for this whole thing. But it's a home security camera with a twist. This is a company based in Slovenia. It isn't the U.S. and so they have the usual sort of set of security cameras. They have some cool features. They can, you know, rotate around, track targets, that kind of thing. But the twist is it can fire paintballs at the intruders or tear gas pellets.
Wow. where that is legal. That's what we should probably say.
Well, there's a lot of.
I thought this was a U.S. company at first.
Right. There's a lot of legal issues here.
Maybe.
And the crazy part is, get this, because it uses AI, it can run autonomously without intervention from you. And apparently, the way it works is if it sees a person or a thing that it identifies as a person, if it's not recognized as an okay person, it gives an audio warning that says, leave in 5 seconds. If you don't leave in 5 seconds, it starts firing paintballs at you.
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, one, that might be pretty dangerous, but two, like, what if you come home completely drunk and it's like, you look dangerous?
Right.
And why you down the garden path and suddenly get
because,
by paintballs.
Because AI facial recognition has never had any bugs.
Right. True, that too. But I was just thinking maybe the AI recognizes you, but it's like, oh no, you're dangerous.
Hey, this is Slovenia. They've probably got another version, like a sentry. You got your very own sentry gun.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
It'll wake up, two AKs will pop out of the top, and then, like, fair enough. It's got no problem anymore. That's fine.
So
that reminds me of Sarah from Eureka, actually.
I also put a link in for a YouTube video that this company. I think the company is called PaintCam, but I can't find any information about who works there or anything else. There is another company named PaintCam, I think, in France that has some people. Totally different thing.
Breaking news, I think I have a picture of one of their employees.
You do?
It's
coming
wait.
Through. Right this, now,
this is great audio content.
Fantastic audio content.
Oh, that's funny. So for the people,
there he is, ED.
Can you explain
it? ED 109.
Yeah. You have 20 seconds to comply.
Right.
Yeah. If you've seen RoboCop, you'll get the reference to to.
Yeah, it's basically like a RoboCop. I also put a link into a YouTube video that these guys put up, and it's absolutely hilarious. It's like, you know, a family sitting in their house, everybody's happy, and the cameras go off, and there's a guy outside, and he starts getting pelted with paintballs. And then they also, part of the video is the homeowner is coming home, but they have somebody else walking next to them and the camera doesn't recognize the guest. So it gives the warning and the guy's going to the app on his phone trying to turn it off before he gets pelted with paintballs.
Oh my God.
It literally is a miniature Ed 309 or Ed 209.
Ed 209, yeah. Does it? Yeah, Ed 209.
Your
very own personal. I'd be in for that. I'm not a problem with any of this.
I can tell you one thing. The name of the product will probably not stay because it's called Eve.
Yeah.
I think that might be a confusion with Eve cameras.
I think the name of the company conflicts with the company in France. Oh, the name of the product conflicts. I think these guys have a lot of work to do.
Yeah,
if they actually do a Kickstarter, it might be worth $200 or $300
Yeah, it's supposed to start
service.
next week, so.
I just have one other question with this company. Are they a division of Omni Consumer Products?
I'll buy that for a dollar.
Very likely. Yeah.
It's
Hey,
funny.
Ben, I know that you have to take off pretty soon. So why don't you tell us where people can find you?
Well, Jeff, you can find me at Ben Rethig on your social media of choice. On Tuesdays, you can find me on Mac Voices Live with Chuck Joyner. On Thursday nights, you can find me on In Touch with iOS with Dave Ginsberg. And every Thursday and Friday, you can find me here on the British Tech Network on the Big and Mac shows.
Awesome. And I'm glad you're able to fit in time to hang out
Half a
today.
show.
Yeah. So, yeah. And yeah, it's great to see you. It's
With that,
almost go ahead.
tally-ho, old chops.
Oh, you have the best British accent ever. Yeah. Yeah, no. But I do appreciate your British accent. Almost as much as I appreciate TSO hosts. And why do I appreciate TSO hosts so much? Well, I mean, first off, they nail a British accent much, much better than Ben does. And nothing against Ben, because I mean, we all heard how good his accent was. I thought he was from Liverpool. Seriously. Anyhow, TSO hosts, seriously, what makes him so awesome is that they offer great, reliable, solid web hosting, and they make it easy for you to buy domain names if you need to. And they have great customer support if you need that, and they're taking all the things they do so well, and they're giving back to the community by supporting the British Tech Network, and they're doing that by giving us the bandwidth we need so we can live stream shows to you every single week. Seriously, it takes a lot of resources to make that happen. And they're giving us the web hosting space we need. So you can go and find the British Tech Network website. And excuse me, for everyone who watches or listens to shows later, or they just have a favorite episode they want to go back and check out again, totally get it. It's a thing. They give us the server space we need. So there's a place for all of those show files to live, so you can get it all the content you want anytime you want. And I mentioned that it takes a lot of resources to make all this happen. The resources that it takes, it's actually beyond what we would be able to manage to pull together on our own. So they're very generously saying, well, you know what? Here you go. Here's everything that you need to live stream, have a website, and host your show files. And so thank you, TSO host, for being here and supporting us. And all of you, please, please go out on social media and thank TSO host for supporting us as well. It's one thing for me to say it, and I genuinely do appreciate their support, but it means a lot more when everyone else is out there saying it too. So please pick your social media, give them a shout out, and thank you, TSO host, for being here and supporting us. And if everyone remembers last week's shows, you appreciate so much why I appreciate that Patrice is here to talk about the live chat so much more professionally than I do.
Oh, you did well last week. I listened to it. I'm like, yeah, that works.
Oh, well, I'm getting better at bumbling my way through that.
Yeah, maybe don't take. So you probably want to know like how people can find that, right?
Yes.
Yes. So we have a really cool live chat where we have been, I mean, we joined it like when we joined started the show. We've been posting not just our story links, so but also sometimes extra links, like for example the Windows tools that Ian mentioned, or the PaintCam website that Jeff mentioned. Out of that. So like, it's a really cool place to be when we're recording the show, which we're doing every Thursday, 7 p.m. UK time for this very show, the big show. And also tomorrow and every Friday, 4 p.m. UK time for the Mac show. If you want to talk, if you want to hear us talk about the Apple side of things, maybe you want to discuss it with us in the chat, which you can totally do. Highly recommend that. And yeah, head over to chat.britishtechnetwork.com to talk to us and see the links live as they're happening. So this is really cool. Rarely ever we have some short time that changes, but anyway, pay attention to our social media because it could happen. Like sometimes we have scheduling conflicts or we have to do something about that.
Mm-hmm.
So, but let's say you are listening to this in the recorded form on like in whatever, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, any your favorite podcast player of choice on a website, wherever you found this content, like this is the cool thing about podcasts. You can listen to them however you want, wherever you want for free. And you're like, but I really would like to get, what was the name and the link to that Windows tool that Ian mentioned? Well, there's a very easy way to get to the transcript of our chat. And all you have to do is head over to britishtechnetwork.com/chat. And then there's a very friendly calendar. It's not an AI, not yet, that asks you for our for date. And whatever date you pick, it will show you the transcript for that date. So anytime between June 2nd, 2015 and today, you would get the transcript. So if you want it for today, for example, you enter the 18th of April, 2024. And if you do that, you will see everything that we talked about.
Awesome. See, I just think that sounds so much better when you talk about this. It's you have this air of confidence about.
Well, and yeah, and I'll also change it every time, so it's never the same.
Right. So yeah. So anyhow, thank you for that, and now it's time to do some cool things. So let's see who has the first cool thing, and it is not me. The paintcam.eu link I dropped in was for the website for that company that Tom was talking about. But let's see. It looks like, Tom, you have the first cool thing.
My cool thing this week, I think I've picked this YouTuber before, but I'm picking a particular episode. It's from Asianometry YouTube channel, and the episode is about Texas Instruments making a home computer in the 70s. Mm-hmm. And it's all about the how TI got to the point of creating the TI-99/4A. Raise your hand if you remember the TI-99/4A.
I'm raising my hand. I do remember.
It was probably more of a U.S. thing. I don't know. It was very popular outside the U.S. But, you know, there were a million companies trying to take advantage of the home computer craze in the late 70s. And it's really a story of just disastrous decisions. And I picked this because this was my first computer I bought. And I bought it when they were doing so poorly, they were practically giving them away. I think I only spent $150 on it.
Wow.
And it was revolutionary. You know, the TI-99/9900 processor was 16-bit. It was a 16-bit processor.
That was a big thing.
It had 16K of RAM. You know, it was just an amazing thing. Unfortunately, if you know anything about processors, the internal registers for the processor were not internal. The registers were actually off chip in a RAM.
Wow. Okay.
Can you imagine how slow that was? Yeah. Can you imagine how every time you wanted to add two numbers and store the intermediate value, you had to go to RAM.
Yeah, it's almost like instead of the fridge being your kitchen, it's, I don't know, it's in the next building over or something. Every time you need something to eat, you have to go out and fetch something. So
that's pretty much it. But, you know, it was a nice little computer. It had a cassette drive to store programs. It had BASIC. You know, you could pop down into assembly language and do lots of fun stuff. It was a cool little computer, but it just, they made some disastrous decisions, and John, the guy from from Asianometry, does his usual great job of giving you all the background and the decisions that were made. It was so if you like computer history of the early days of home computers, you might enjoy that.
That's very cool. And it's 40 minutes long. So he goes into a lot of detail.
He does, yes.
Yeah. Very cool. All right. I will watch that later because I actually really am interested in that. Okay. So, Ian, it's your turn.
It's me. I chucked this one. I discovered this one. As I said, I'm back on Windows now and looking for a useful app to replace Tot that I was using on Mac OS, which is kind of like a handy little scratch pad to chunk stuff in. And I came across this thing, and it's really neat. It's completely cross-platform, open source, which I always love. And it's a little scratch pad where you can have little sections of the page where you can have code, text. And it's also got one of those real language maths things. Just now, when we were talking about weights and things, I did quick conversions with it to get myself from pounds to kilograms and stuff like that. It's just a really neat little tool, and it's available in Windows. So persistent text buffer, you can copy and paste into it. You can specify each section is either plain text, or it's maths, or it's a whole host of other code formats. So if you're a coder, you've got things like C++, HTML, JSON, whatever you're using. It's very neat, supports Markdown as well. And as I said, it's a calculator. Just one of those neat little do it all everything tools. Doesn't take up virtual memory. I've been using it for the week now. I'm quite enjoying it.
That's very
Still
cool.
learning. It's still learning about all the things it does, but it is a very handy little thing to have kicking around on one of your monitors.
Mac, Windows, and Linux.
And it's available on Windows, Mac, Linux, including ARM as well. So it's not a Rosetta Clutch either.
So, yeah, that's
Very
very
good.
cool.
Nice little app.
Yeah.
Very nice. Awesome.
I like the name Haynote.
Hey,
Hey,
note.
note.
All right, Patrice, tell us about your cool thing.
Oh, my cool thing is a cool thing that you, I think, already picked on other shows on Doesn't Work, but I'm picking it this week because it's my time. So, Star
Only
Trek
fair.
Discovery season 5. Really, I watched today's episode. I'm not gonna spoil it. I can't even put it into words. It was great. It was so good. And it was a very Star Trek. It is a very Star Trek season, and it is a very Star Trek episode. So that's all I'm going to say. But season 5, especially, I mean, whatever you think at the beginning was a little bit rough, whatever you think of Discovery, I really like the last two seasons, and I like this last season especially. It's like it's, I don't know. It's a, it's kind of Indiana Jones in space. I don't know, something like that. Like they're trying to find the treasure. That's kind of what they're doing. And it's such a, like all the people there, like all the characters, the connections, like it just it like I'm super sad and really like crying that like this is the final season, because I wanted that crew, that really awesome crew, to continue. So
I
I'm
agree.
sad, and
I was sad to see it go too.
they didn't even know, that's the thing, like they didn't even know this was the final season. So that's, I don't get it. It's, despite what you might have heard about Discovery, give it a chance. It is truly great, and this is for me probably one of the all-time great seasons of Star Trek. So
I know there's a lot of people that bag on Discovery, but look at every single Star Trek series. There's a
yeah.
group of people that are going to bag on each one of them. Maybe a
Yes.
different group, but whatever. It's a thing.
I think every Star Trek show had that. In the beginning, people said, "Oh, it's crap and never gonna go anywhere," and then there's other people that loved it. So,
Yeah, I'm really enjoying season 5 of Discovery. I have not watched the episode that dropped today yet, but it's on my
you got a
schedule.
treat coming your way.
I'm looking forward to it.
It said it's it is as I said it is. I can't even it. I mean. Remember, Discovery brought back Star Trek, basically. I mean, yeah, there were the Kelvin movies and kind of approaches, but they never went anywhere, to be honest. This brought back Star Trek as we know it, this show. And now we
Yes.
have so much. I mean, they also got, I also just canceled after the next season, Lower Decks, which I also like. What the are
I
you
was
thinking?
really disappointed that they canceled that. There's an online
Petition.
petition
Yes.
to
Yeah.
save it.
It's, as I said, I don't get it. Maybe they're making way. I mean, there is another Starfleet show coming. We know the Academy one. I think
Right.
it's called Academy. Might be
I
wrong.
yeah, I think that's what it's called.
Yeah, so there's a chance that some of the other cast members from Discovery might show up here and there, which I would really love. But it's what's really interesting and striking is, I mean, it's like, and they reference that even in this season a little bit, like where it started and where they went and how far they went, and not just in time or space or anything, but also in personal growth and connection with each other is. It's just mind blowing, and I really love that. And like I said, I'm so sad that we got 4 episodes so far. We only got 6 more, and I'm gonna treasure everything. Like I literally was looking forward to today to be able to watch it. Like lunch break today was the time I watched it. I was like, okay, it's and I couldn't stop it. It just had to be done. This is how good it is,
Yep.
and I'm getting quite emotional about it. So.
Oh, well,
Yeah.
I'm very much looking forward to watching it.
So go watch it. Go enjoy it. 5 seasons, like all 5 seasons on a, on their own, are interesting. Yeah, not everything's great, but it is a great show.
Awesome. All
I'm going
right.
to go back to it, I think, and have a look.
I
You
was kind
should.
of bummed that Ben wasn't able to stick around for the whole show today because I changed my cool thing
Oh,
just for him.
just for him.
Yep.
So what is
So
your cool thing?
in honor of Ben's story pick today, my cool thing is Dead Like Me, a TV series from 2003 and 2004.
Yes.
The premise is you have this young woman.
So
She's
good.
like kind of a crappy person, but and she's like a temp worker. And she gets killed by a toilet seat that falls off
From the
the
ISS.
the space station,
Yes.
and it just nails her, the only person that gets hit by this thing. And so it hits her and she dies, but then she realizes she's not actually, she's still here. And someone walks up to her and explains to her, "You're now part of my team of Grim Reapers." And so this group of kind of misfit
Oh, I
people,
remember this now.
yeah,
Yeah, I
they get
picked it as
assigned
a cool
people.
thing in wait a second, October 14th, 2022,
Okay.
because it is Jeff. This is one of the shows we then don't have to watch together because this is like one of my all-time favorite shows.
Oh, I
I rewatched
absolutely love
it.
it. Well, only
Yeah,
two seasons.
it ended really primitive. There was a movie, by the way. I don't know if you know that.
The
There was a movie.
movie I did not enjoy at all.
I
And it didn't
actually
have
enjoyed
Mandy
it.
Patinkin in it.
That's true. He was not in it. They found a
And
lookalike character, like actor, but it wasn't him.
yeah, and then they recast the actress that played Daisy Adair.
Yeah, it
Daisy
was.
Adair.
Yeah, exactly. But I still like the movie because it kind of wrapped up the show because it kind of
Yeah,
ended
I
in
mean,
the middle of
yeah,
perfect.
it
So.
did do that,
Yeah.
and I
Yeah.
did like that. The movie's just not
Yeah.
nearly as good as the two
Yes.
seasons.
Yeah. It's really like, I mean, the it's so super interesting that she finds through her death or after her death, she kind of finds life. Like she never lived. Like she realizes that she never actually lived. I mean, she was 18, so but even like as a teenager, she never had a like she didn't she was never interested in life. She had never had a life, really. I mean, she had like a family and a dog and all of that, but she never appreciated it, never really cared for it. She didn't have a life really. And then she dies and all of a sudden she starts to cherish it and she actually builds a life and has friends and all of the things she didn't have before. She even like builds a relationship with her sister that she never had and stuff like that. So it's super interesting. I love that show.
Yeah, and I mean, it sounds like a deep drama the way we're describing it, except for the way she dies.
Yeah, but it's a comedy, actually.
It is a comedy.
Yeah. Yeah.
It is just so well done.
Yeah. Just trying to remember what the Ellen Muth, yeah, that was her, and Mandy Patinkin for sure,
Yep.
as Rook.
And Jasmine Guy is in it, and I thought she was great in it as
Yeah,
well.
Roxy. Yeah. Yeah, it's, as I said, it's a great cast. It's a, as I said, it's a comedy. It's a dark comedy for sure. The intro itself is hilarious. Like
Oh
when
yeah.
they or they're like the all the like the death with like the, you know, the robe and like the all of it, and like they're playing cards and whatever, dancing and like taking train, I think like elevator rides or something like that. So it's meant to be funny.
Yes, and I mean
Love it.
it's poignant, but really funny.
Yeah, but it tells a good story about like that you should appreciate what you have and the life you have, because it might end it, and that's the point there. Like every episodes they have to reap a number of deaths, and more or less tragic, because I think that's her department, is tragic death, like accident mostly.
Yeah.
I don't know. Sometimes someone does something and like wants to kill themselves and changes their mind, and an accident happens and they get killed. Stuff like that also happens. So it's kind of dark that way, but it's accidents, but it just shows you like, yeah, can happen any time. Like any second might be their last. I mean, like it was for her. Like she walked down the street after, I think, a job interview, and just got hit by a toilet seat
Fresh face.
from
She didn't
space.
have her Skylab helmet on.
No,
No,
she did not. She really needed that Skylab helmet.
Like it's really fun. Like
Absolutely.
even stood there, watched it
And she looks
fly
up,
into her
sees it,
face.
and then she's like,
She doesn't move.
oh, sh, and then boom.
Yeah, and then she's done. It's like it's funny. Like everybody else probably would have like whatever, jumped away, ran away, whatever, and she just looks at it like, oh. So
So
funny.
there you
And
go.
so well acted, and good writing and all of it. It's like
That, yeah, absolutely
great
love
pick.
that series.
Great pick. Yeah. It's is it all time, it's on my list of all time favorites. I have a ton, but this is high up there. I watch it once a year about, so.
You watch it more often than I do. It's been years since I've seen it. But
I
as
could keep
soon
going
as
back.
Ben dropped his story on us, I immediately knew I had to change
Yes.
my cool thing today.
So fitting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which means that maybe I'll
On
use
which
my cool thing
service
tomorrow.
is it?
That's a really good question.
That's a good question. So I
Deadlight?
see you can, it's on Roku, it's
Free.
on Freebie.
Freebie, so Prime,
Yeah,
you can
and
get
for sure
free
you can buy
Prime.
it on Apple TV if you want. So,
Right.
or on Vudu.
All right. So actually, maybe what I should do then is just look for a deal on DVD or Blu-ray
Yes, that's
and just
usually,
get it
yeah. I
and.
doubt they have Blu-rays. It's not the, worth it probably for the studio to, but DVDs should be possible.
Oh yeah. Well, and then if it's a DVD, then I can just hand break it and throw it on my Plex.
Yeah, it has an 8.1 on IMDb. Actually, it's not that long ago. I thought it was older. It's 2017. So.
No.
So it's not
2017
that.
for the DVDs.
Wait a second. I think this is a wrong link. Never
That's
mind.
yeah, because
That's a wrong
the
link. The
early
series is from the
2000s.
early 2000s.
Yeah,
Exactly.
right.
There's a link here, and if you click it, you get go to something else. So that like
Wow, it's
me,
kind of expensive to
2003.
buy on DVD.
That like me, 2003. Yeah. Okay, so I was right.
Right, I guess I'll have to go look at eBay.
Yeah,
Pick it up from
always
there.
always possible, or some actually, I don't know if a library would have that still and give it away.
Amazon, $65.
Yeah.
That's still a lot for a DVD.
For two seasons.
Yeah.
That's a lot. All right. Well,
Good. Really good pick. Really
and
good pick.
yeah, it's one of those picks that's kind of ironic in that it's a really good pick, but I brought it as a joke pick. Just for
Joke.
Ben.
Really funny.
Yeah. All right. Well, we already know where to find Ben. So, Ian, where can people find you?
People can find me here every Thursday on the Big Show. Otherwise, I'm on LinkedIn. My name is Ian Grant, or you can find me again in our Slack room. Those are the usual places. Don't do too much social, so those are the best places to find me.
Awesome. Awesome. All right. And Tom, where can people find you?
People can find me, Jeff, on Mastodon. I am Tom F at sfba.social.
Awesome. All right. And Patrice, where can people find you?
Well, I'm here every week on almost every week when I'm not traveling on the big show on Thursdays, on the Mac show on Fridays. I'm also, well, on no other podcast actually. I don't know what I was saying. Just brain just went somewhere. No, I'm usually I join other podcasts randomly, but I'm not anywhere on a regular basis because they're usually happening different like times at night, and I can't do that. But you can find, if I'm doing anything like that, you can go to my website, thepatrice.com, and there you can find it. Just like all the social media links, the podcast, the projects, literally everything I'm doing. And yeah, let's talk about Foodie Flashback. That's another podcast. Actually, that is another podcast that I haven't been doing in a long time. I have still one episode and then edit it, so I should probably do that. So foodieflashback.com if you want to like listen to really cool people talk about food and food related stories, like everybody here on the panel did.
Awesome. Awesome. All right. Then I guess it means it's my turn now. All right. So for me, you can find me on social media. I'm Jay Gamut on pretty much everything, and I'm active on Mastodon and Instagram and Threads. Then for shows, Tuesdays on Chuck Joyner's Mac Voices Live, then Thursdays on Dave Ginsberg's In Touch with iOS, excuse me, then here on the British Tech Network, Thursday on The Big Show, Friday on The Mac Show. And then Brian Chaffin and I, we also do The Context Machine. And with that, this has been loads of fun. And I'm so glad that I got to spend part of my day with all of you, and including Ben, who had to leave a little early. So thank you. This has been awesome. And everyone that's watching or listening live, thank you for being here and being part of this as well. Everyone that drops into the live chat, thank you for being there. All of you that watch or listen to the shows later, thank you for being part of the BTN family as well. All of you, you're absolutely awesome. And Ewan, thank you for being you. Muller, thank you for making sure we have people for shows. TSO host, thank you for being here and supporting us. Give them some online love, people. And hey, if you decide that you need to get any services from them, use the discount code BTN20. Throw that in your cart at checkout and you get an extra 20% off just because you're part of the BTN family. And speaking of BTN family, Kyle does the daily news show and it's fantastic. It's like a 5-minute encapsulation of the tech news that you need. It's waiting for you when you get up in the morning, but it does take extra to make that show run. So we need money to keep that going. To make that happen, just go to the BTN website, click the button on the site to send money in to keep the show running. Please just go do that. It's an awesome show. And for those of you that are already sending money in, thank you very much. All right. So with that, be sure and join us tomorrow, which is Friday, for the Mac show. Then again next Thursday for the big show. And everyone, have an awesome weekend.